This is Fresh Air. Some people think John Callahan's cartoons are sick and insensitive. Isn't it insensitive to do cartoons about cripples, alcoholics, and dysfunctional families? Well, even people who think it is tend to think again when they learn that Callahan was left paralyzed from the chest down by an auto accident and he's a recovering alcoholic. He takes on the self-help movement in his new cartoon collection, Digesting the Child Within and Other Cartoons to Live By. In one cartoon, a couple is eating in a cafe. A sign on the wall says, "Thank you for not talking about your relationship." In the cartoon Dysfunctional Family Robinson, four people sit on four separate islands. Here's another good one. A mother admonishes her children at the dinner table, "Finish your vegetables. There are children in Beverly Hills with eating disorders." And then there's the low self-esteem engine trying to get up the hill, chugging, "I don't deserve to. I don't deserve to." There's even a Callahan cartoon about codependency.
Yeah, well, I hear so much about it that my reaction to it was to draw a picture of a guy just walking down the street thinking to himself, "I think, therefore I'm codependent."
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, do you know the language of therapy and self-help from the inside? Have you been in a lot of groups yourself?
Well, really, I haven't been in that many groups, just a good old AA experience and more than anything. I have gone to, you know, counselors and stuff over the years. And so, I mean, one of the first cartoons I did years ago was a picture of the psychiatric scene, you know, with a shrink and his patient. And the psychiatric couch is tipped over and over on the patient, and the patient's pinned underneath the couch trying to get out. And the psychiatrist is kind of oblivious with his back turned. The psychiatrist is saying, "What I seem to be hearing you say, Mr. Wilson, is help."
Have you found in self-help groups that you've been in that your brand of cynicism is not really welcomed within the group?
Yeah, I've had that happen a lot of times where people think I have a bad attitude. And, you know, I think there's room for this kind of, you know, for this kind of humor. It's refreshing. Most people have the ability to realize that what they're doing is got a lot of humor. It's pretty funny, pretty ironic, and, you know, but there are some real sticks in the mud about it, you know. Like, I have some more intense kind of cartoons. I mean, I don't know if this one's in this particular book, the one with the facilitator of the group is, it's something like, on the wall it says, "Welcome to the Wednesday night double arm amputee group," you know, and it's like, woman is standing there, she has arms, and all the other people surrounding her have no arms, and she's saying, "I need a hug." You know, that's a little more of on the edge, but, you know.
You know, sometimes when you're really cynical or skeptical, you're accused of using it as a defense mechanism, which in fact sometimes it is, but sometimes it's just a function of your sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find people get confused about that with you?
Yeah, I get confused myself about it, really. I mean, I think it's a function of both those things in me, really. But I was sort of born genetically, I think, with a sense of humor, but then I have developed it to the point where I can just about numb myself to any awful fact in the world, you know, with the humor, you know, I surround myself.
Well, in the new book, the little, like, novella, the short story series of cartoons is about how you became and stopped being an alcoholic.
Yeah. Well, that's my way of telling something. And I mean, I can tell the truth, but it's easier for me doing it through humor. I mean, it comes out, the truth is very plain, and it's almost shocking to some people, but the humor will make it go down the throat a little sweeter, you know. So I've done a couple of those. And so, I mean, that's an example, like that piece in my new book, I think it was an alcoholic. It's about the last third of the book, that whole story about my alcoholism is in my recovery. Well, I'll probably animate that as my next film to animate. Do you think it would make a nice animated film?
Oh, I do, because it's a story and it's also very personal. And, the humor in it is really odd. Let me tell you about the image that really stands out mm-hmm. in my mind from it.
Yeah.
You're talking about how after the accident, you know, when you were in a wheelchair, a friend was wheeling you down the street, and he was really drunk, and mm-hmm. you were really drunk, and you didn't realize that your foot was dragging beneath the chair because you have no feeling in the foot.
Yeah.
And then you got back to, the nursing home, and there was, like, you kind of scraped all the skin off your feet.
Yeah.
Or your foot.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just really horrifying
to me. It's grotesque. But actually, in the cartoon, I bet it lightens it up, if anybody could believe that. It could be lightened up, but like with this flume of blood flowing out of the foot, and the nuns are standing around perplexed in the nursing home. It just goes to show that just about anything can be turned into humor, I guess. Just about anything.
Let me ask you, I'm excuse me if this is an odd question, but I wonder what your relationship is to what would be pain, but isn't because you don't experience it. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
Oh, yeah, sure.
My reaction to pain is a little, like, kind of skewed here because of my spinal cord injury. So when I have pain, like, somewhere in my body where it's from the chest down where I don't have any feeling, I don't feel the pain in terms, just like anybody else would feel. I like a burning feeling or a stabbing feeling or anything like anybody would feel, like skin, like you would. I just get a referred kind of different kind of message. Like I get, you know, some say my shoes are too tight or I smash my leg or somebody stabs me with a stiletto or something. Then I feel a more of, like, say, secondary kind of autonomic feelings like, you know, headaches, sweat, chills, kind of sweating. You know what I mean? I mean, it's different. I get a real uncomfortable feeling in different ways. Headaches, chills, sweating, that kind of thing.
So the body still has a way to tell you something wrong.
Yeah, the body's, that's right. Yeah, it's almost, you'd rather have the original kind of bona fide kind of pain is more is preferable, I think, than this.
Because it's more localized?
Yeah, it's more localized. If you know, you'd smash your foot, you'd feel the pain right in your toe, but I feel this kind of yucky feeling all over my whole body. It's a goofy way to live.
So what was the nun's reaction when you came back with the skin off of your foot? It sounds like, in the comic, it sounds like they were angry at you and they threw you out of the nursing home.
Well, they were angry because I was so much younger then. I was just 23 or 24. But I was drunk all the time and the nuns didn't like it. They were like, they didn't want to abide my, you know, alcoholism. And they just, I think it was after that that I just, like, they threw me out of the nursing home and I had to drift through Portland and go down the scale of alcoholism further and further and until I had to, and, you know, then I bottomed out a year or two later. I guess I have the nuns to thank for that.
You describe the bottoming out moment in the cartoon. Would you describe what really happened for us?
Well, I was at home alone one day in my wheelchair and everyone was gone in my apartment. I was just alone. I was drinking a bottle of wine. I was about half drunk and I dropped the bottle and I couldn't reach it. It rolled down the stairs out of my reach and I couldn't get at it. And I became more and more frustrated trying to reach it because, I mean, anybody who's an alcoholic in those late stages and who's feels really awful and sick and needs a drink, you know, more to drink. You know, when you get only half drunk, you're sort of halfway there. It's very frustrating. And I couldn't reach the bottle. I mean, I'm reaching and time goes on and I'm getting more and more frustrated and I can't, you know, and then I knock the phone off the hook to get somebody to come help me and knock the phone on the ground. And, you know, it just gets more and more intense. And I guess I was just having such a bad time of it in my life at that point with the frustration of you know, the late stages of the drinking and the alcoholism. I was just generally completely just pushed to the point of insanity by it. So this was just like the straw that broke the camel's back, this incident with the bottle. I just started just snapping out, just screaming and you know, crying out against God and everything else and just shouting and screeching in my apartment and crying and pounding on things, running into the wall. And it was just a real heavy moment in my... And I just had a real breakthrough at that moment. I guess some alcoholics have where you completely just broke through and became sort of in touch with the reason for my whole life going off the track was the alcoholism. I just understood this big epiphany all of a sudden, sort of just calming feeling just came over me and this sort of gentle of kind of presence or something was around me and, you know, picked up the phone and, you know, called for a pizza. No help, you know.
What kind of help did you call for?
Well, I guess I called, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, you know.
If you're just joining us, my guest is cartoonist John Callahan, and he has a new collection called Digesting the Child Within. We're going to take a short break and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Cartoonist John Callahan is my guest. Did you have a sense of humor when you were an alcoholic, do you know? I mean, were you as funny as you are now?
Yeah, I had a sense of humor. I think I was born, my genetic mother had a sense of humor. I think I kind of got it from her, passed it down with her genes or something. But I didn't, I mean, all it did was sort of turn on me, make me more bitter, the sense of humor that I had to kind of reaffirm my, I'm cynical now, but I have a positive under sort of basis to my life. But back in those days, I was purely cynical and very self-pitying, kind of a victim feeling. But the humor is always there, whatever side of the fence you're on, you know, in terms of mental health.
But back in the self-pitying days,
yeah.
did you get a sense of how little most people like to be around people who are self-pitying.
Yeah, you get a feeling for that. You know, people, it's an awful feeling. I think that somebody, in my first book, I said, you know, self-pity is like wet pants in the winter. It's a warm feeling for a very short time.
Do you give advice to people who are like that now? I mean, do you know people who are like that and have to deal with it yourself?
Yeah. I mean, I do meet people, and I try to take the time. I think it's my duty to talk to people who are stuck in a place like that, like I used to be. And I mean, I have a lot of problems still myself, and I'm always appreciative. You know, everybody can help anybody else out. It's you have to take the time, I guess, to look into somebody else's situation, see if you can be helpful. It's easy to be self-centered.
So I have to say here that all of your skeptical humor about self-help and everything doesn't mean that you are unwilling to help other people or that you are not cognizant of the value of this kind of stuff.
No, it's true. I think that there's a lot of truth and value. It's just there's a part of me that just has to laugh at it.
Hmm. So once you gave up alcohol, how did you get into cartooning, and how did you realize that you actually could still draw? I know that's something you did when you were a kid.
Well, I just what happened? It was kind of a natural sequence of things. Once I became sober and had a few years of sobriety, I became creative again, in touch with my creative drive. And once that happens, then wild horses can't hold me back. But it had been blocked in a really agonizing and torturous way during the years of alcoholism, so that I was like living the night of the living dead. I mean, it's bad enough to be living a half-life because you're an alcoholic, but if you're creative and that creative process is blocked off by, you know, you're just cut off from yourself with the alcohol. So once it, you know, stopped, then I was able to realize. And of course, the drawing, I never had to learn how to draw. I just naturally know how, so I have a real simple drawing style, thank God.
How much use do you have of your hands?
Oh, completely, almost. My arms are normal. Some of my fingers are just a little stiff. Mm-hmm. So I draw kind of, I have a goofy, it looks kind of dippy the way I draw, but.
Well, it's a style that everybody looks really stressed out because of the kind of tension within it. Do you know what I mean? The way you draw?
Yeah, well, yeah, I figure, you know, I think most people are stressed out. Maybe I just project that from myself.
Oh, not me, not me.
You're not stressed out?
Oh, no.
Oh, well. Oh. Then you could never be one of my cartoon characters.
Yeah. Gee, I hope not.
Well, I figure, you know, I mean, life isn't easy, and my cartoon characters always have it pretty hard. Some of my cartoons are pretty lighthearted. People don't look too stressed out. I draw cute ones sometimes.
Oh, I should ask you to describe, this is a favorite in the Fresh Air office, mm-hmm. Was it called the Schizophrenic Choir?
Oh, yeah. The Schizophrenic Choir. That's the Christmas tree one? Or It's the Schizophrenic... Actually, yeah, Christmas... Oh, let's see. L.A. is like... Oh, there's like the Crazy Choir or something at Christmas time. I wish I could remember. Schizophrenic Christmas Choir. They're standing on the bleachers with their Christmas outfits on. They look very crazy. And the leader's, you know, conducting them to sing. They're all singing together, "Do You Hear What I Hear?"
that's really good. So what kind of setup do you have in your house now for physical therapy and stuff?
I just have the regular kind of like S&M looking bed, you know, with these straps hanging down and stuff, and my housekeepers do the physical therapy. I mean, in the morning they stretch my legs and you know, put on, you know, it's just the usual thing, the handcuffs, you know, the you know.
go ahead.
That was it. I mean, I just do maintenance therapy now, physical therapy, really.
Do you get a lot of offers from disability rights groups who want you to do work for them?
And I do.
If so, do you do it or?
I do some. I mean, I don't know. I don't relate to as much as, I mean, the disability thing. I do a lot of cartoons, but I don't relate to it as just like a strict political thing or something. The thing that kills me most are the politically correct. If I'm doing any political kind of cartoons, it's usually about the PC or the politically correct. I think they're geeks, so I draw cartoons about them.
Is it hard to say no, though, to people?
Oh, yeah. Well, I did one recently for something called the Spinal Network. you know, I love a magazine that comes right out and tells what it's about. The Spinal Network magazine. It's a good magazine. And I did a cartoon of just this, you know, group of paraplegics or quadriplegics in this aerobics class. They're all paralyzed from the neck down, and they're all in their wheelchairs. And the leader of the exercise group is saying, okay, let's get those eyeballs moving.
Very sick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
John Callahan, his new book of cartoons is called Digesting the Child Within and Other Cartoons to Live By. This is Fresh Air.